I never have a problem talking myself, if anything, so we can go there. Hello and welcome to episode 60 of Great Things with Great Tech, the podcast highlighting companies doing great things with great technology. My name is Anthony Spiteri, and in this episode, we're talking to a company with a philosophy built around the desire to support commercial, enterprise, and public sector customers at every stage of their IT modernization journey. A company started with a shared vision to evolve the traditional MSP model even further, combining operations, development, and automation to deliver positive outcomes and unlock the power of cloud to maximize technology investments. That company is Effectual. And I'm talking to two people today. I'm talking to Richard Dolan, the CMO and co-founder, and also John White, Chief Innovation Officer at Effectual. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent. So yeah, two people on the show, which has only happened twice, including this one in 60 episodes. But you know, like everything here, we adapt on the fly, and it's going to be a really great and interesting episode. And actually, funnily enough, as a side note, John and I actually had one shot at this already back in December at AWS reInvent, and something went horribly wrong with the recording. So we're back better than ever for episode 60, a nice round number. So before we get into it, I just want to say that if you like Great Things with Great Tech and would like to feature in future episodes, you can click on the link on the show notes or head to gtwgt.com. You can head to all the popular podcasting platforms, Anchor, Google, Amazon, wherever it might be, wherever podcasts are found, or on the YouTube channel at GTWGT Podcast. Hit the like and subscribe button. And also, again, a reminder, you can go on the website and register your interest. Now, with that, Richard, let's start with you first, because you're obviously a co-founder at Effectual. So I'm really interested in just, you know, the background of the company, you know, where you came from, where the team came from, and how Effectual actually started as a company.
You got it. It's a great story, and it's very relevant to how we're approaching enterprise organizations today and helping them to modernize. In some ways, we kind of modernized ourselves in the iteration of the executive leadership here at Effectual. A good number of us were all part of another MSP called Datapipe. Had a great run. I ran marketing at Datapipe for 17 years. Grew to be a global organization, a global data center footprint, as well as one of the first to ever offer managed services on top of AWS, on top of Azure, on top of GCP, and even Alibaba in Asia. So we had a really strong reputation in that space. And ultimately in 2017, Datapipe was acquired by Rackspace. So that's a truncated version of that story, but one that you like to tell. I did spend some time at Rackspace myself, and then ultimately presented with the opportunity to start something a little bit different. We saw an opportunity to really double down and focus solely on AWS. We learned so much from managing and operating a global data center footprint, from managing multiple clouds, that having the opportunity to just focus on one and with the vision of being the elite provider of services on top of AWS, that's where we wanted to create this story. And that really started in motion Christmas Eve of 2019 when we got our first round of investment.
Right. So timing wise there, I mean, obviously, you know, notwithstanding, you know, the interesting, and I think very, you know, brave decision to put all your eggs into the AWS basket. Obviously, that timing lines up pretty well with a little thing called COVID. So, you know, what was that like, just as a side note, trying to sort of start up a company and have it started in basically January of 2020?
It was, for the vision that we had laid out, remarkably, it actually impacted us very little. We already knew that we were going to be a remote-focused company, going to where the talent is. If you look at our workforce now, we have employees in over 30 states across the U.S.
Well,
we want to go to where the skills are, you know, not necessarily have people in the office. It's great to meet people in the office. I did miss that, and I love having time in the office now. But that's a really important factor. And when we look at the way that COVID itself didn't cause a hindrance to how we grew Effectual, that's another great story that we're trying to enable for our customers. If you build your business in a certain way, it's not going to matter. Remote access is there. Everybody can work. Zoom functions phenomenally.
Yep.
And we can get things done. So yeah, it was interesting. There is an anecdote story. You know, we did grow by a couple acquisitions. One company based out of DC called JHC Technology, and the second, an application development firm in Oregon. In the acquisition process there, a few of us were on our way home from Oregon as the airport started shutting down.
Wow,
that was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's going to be scary. I was buying a house back then, so I kind of understand, you know, the elements of a financial contract when there's all sorts of uncertainty in place. So obviously not in the same level as an acquisition, but I kind of understand that that level of uncertainty in any financial transaction at the time was worrying. So well done for getting through that.
Thank you.
Hey, and just before we dig into the company a little bit more, John, do you want to just introduce yourself? Because I nearly forgot about you, even though I can see you on the screen. Oh yeah, this three-person thing. But hey, just a little bit of an introduction to yourself. Obviously, you and I have known each other for a very long time through the VMware community. It's part of the story here, right, in terms of what we're going to touch on, transitioning from traditional VMware to on-prem and on-prem to cloud. So give a little bit of a background about yourself.
Sure, yeah. So I'm John White, Chief Innovation Officer at Effectual. I've been in the managed services space, as you mentioned, for a long time. I was with a company called Expedience, where we had a lot of parallel story to Datapipe, just a little different size and scale. But we were the same thing, coming out of the data center world into virtualization, into cloud, all that fun stuff. So I've been with the company for over a year now, but I've been tracking Effectual since they got their funding back in 2019, which is kind of interesting. So I was bopping around a little bit. I spent some time at AWS, and then I reached out to Rob and I said, "Hey, I'm interested in kind of doing the next thing here. I want to focus on, you know, AWS. I love it. I understand the tech so much better now, you know, spending time there. I'm really interested in what you're up to." So we started talking in, I guess, 2021, and put something together so I could join and jump on the team. So I've been focused on all kinds of fun stuff in my first year, but probably the biggest one is, you know, helping grow the managed services side of our business and understanding and adopting, you know, kind of what this modern cloud management that we talk about, what that really means, and how we can kind of set a future path a little bit different than the rest with some of the learnings that we've had in our past.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll touch on, you know, the fact that there is maturity in the group that lends itself to this new wave of managed service provider. But I just wanted to ask as well, in terms of, you know, Chief Innovation Officer, like that's obviously, it's not a common position, I suppose. So well done on trailblazing, you know, that as well. But how do you, I mean, in all honesty, how do you kind of come to that? I mean, obviously, I would understand what it is, right? But for the folks at home, like what exactly does it entail in that role?
Yeah, I think the difference in this kind of chief role is that usually we wear a lot of different hats. And so I'm starting to see it become a little bit more common. And it's almost, you know, it's a strategic kind of role as well. So innovation, we focus on anything from internal to product to process to, you know, a special focus for the company that we're seeing a lot of action from our customers. And so a lot of our world is trying to listen to the customers, see the trends in the tea leaves from analysts, from, you know, what's going on inside of the market, inside of the world, and then help us position to be in the right place at the right time.
Right. Yeah. Interesting answer. That's good. And I think we'll see more and more of the role kind of flourishing, right? Because I think great technology innovation, it goes hand in hand. So, hey, Richard, just, walk through the mentality of we talked about, you know, the AWS focused. So
sure.
Just roll through, you know, what goes, because the whole prevailing thing is that we live in this world where we've got on-prem, we've got the public cloud, we've got elements in between the edge and whatnot, and a lot of different providers. So how do you sort of bet the house or the business on AWS moving forward? I mean, clearly they're the biggest cloud provider out there.
Sure.
You know, John and I were at reInvent. We understand, you know, the movement towards a lot of their services, but how does Effectual sit there and say, this is it, AWS is it?
It's a really good question. I was there at reInvent this past year as well, and there were some interesting changes in conversations from reInvent in the past. I've been at every single reInvent since the start. To be able to have the confidence to go all in onto a single platform is a, you know, it takes a bit of bravery, it takes a bit of courage, but it was also so much opportunity that we saw in that ecosystem. You know, that there was, it's been the leading platform for a while. Sure, that the others are competing there. But as a, to found a startup, you know, being able to put all of our resources into the training and experience and expertise of one platform, then splitting resources across multiple, that was a function of efficacy. You know, it made us a heck of a lot more efficient to be able to just be, you know what, this is our playground. This is where we are the de facto experts. And that was important to us. We also, you know, from multiple past lives, whether it's from the DataPipe days or the other people on the executive team that have joined us, we have a tremendous amount of very strong relationships within the AWS world as individuals.
That's
good. Then you bring us together, you know, make the Voltron joke, you know, everybody comes together from these different walks of life.
Did you know that I'm a massive Voltron fan? Is that
I was hoping that my info was right.
Massive. if we were filming back in my home studio, you'd see Voltron on the shelf. So here you go.
There you go. But yeah, it does. You get these views of the AWS world from, you know, from John's past experience there, from our COO's past experience working inside the halls of AWS. And you know, there's just an incredible amount of opportunity within that world. There's definitely, you know, to have to pick one, that was the platform where we saw, you know, from our past experience, the best use of our skills and how to build a company that was on the leading edge of where the cloud space is going.
Yeah. And the addressable market that you can tap into is tremendous as well, right? And I think it only get bigger. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it after, but I think, you know, the fact that we're seeing this fairly significant migration and transition to modern data platforms, you know, you're there to basically trap that as it moves to the biggest addressable market cloud that existing. I just caught wind a little bit of, you said efficient. Where did effectual, the name, come from? Is it drawn from there? Or I'm always interested in where the names come from on the show.
It's in this day and age where startups are inventing their own names. You know, effectual is a real word in the dictionary. So that's something that we were pretty happy on the choice. If you think about what it means too, we want to be effective in the way that we engage with our customers. And we treat our customers as a partner. It's not a vendor type relationship where they're coming to us asking for, you know, software license or your typical type of old school hardware buy. They're looking for a partner and you know, and the marketing person put on our marketing phrases here. We focus ourselves on what we call our three E's. That's the experience, expertise, and the ability to execute. So that's where we focus our everything that we do from the moment we engage in assessments through all the way through migrations, through managed services. You know, that is something, you know, you kind of think of that old insurance commercial where we've been there, we've seen it, we've seen those pitfalls before. You guys can go this alone, or you can rely on us as an extension of your team to help navigate some of those pitfalls. And it really helps in the way that we engage and go to market. So the efficiency, back to your question there, it's a lot faster for our customers to engage and know that they can lean on us as an extension of their team and to really accelerate how they're achieving their business outcomes.
Yeah. And I think to make a little bit of a joke about the startup, if you were a true sort of Silicon Valley startup, it would have been effectually, you know, so many companies with those leads, they're a dime a dozen. Hopefully we get out of that trend very soon. So John, I think let's go over to you and talk a little bit about, you know, the type of customer that you guys have, because from memory, if a customer comes to you and says, hey, you know, we've got some on-premises workloads, typically you guys will go, No, sorry, we don't do that sort of stuff. Right now, you guys do work around VMware Cloud and AWS, which is obviously, you know, AWS and VMware in the cloud. So I know that you guys do migration partners or just general partners with them. So what is the typical customer that you guys are interested in?
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of a tricky question, because we like to look at the customers on where they're at kind of in their journey. Most, if you think about it from a timeline perspective, a lot of the customers right now and companies that are out there, they're trying to get out of their data center, hosting provider, whatever it might be, get it into AWS so they can start, you know, getting all the big promises of cloud. So we come in, we help do the migration, whether it's to EC2 in AWS native or inside of VMC. And that's a lot of our customers are kind of starting there. From there, we go into, you know, doing work with data intelligence. And we can go and create app development. And so if a customer wants a new app created, we can do that. If they want an old app, maybe a mainframe system modernized, we do that as well. So our ideal customer is one that's, you know, the executive team is truly committed into the cloud, because that's the one thing that I saw when I was at AWS is like the team that I was on was helping to get the, you know, the executive team committed so they can actually get everybody behind them working on it. And so we look for those exec teams that are aligned, they're ready to go. And it's all about trying to achieve their outcomes, whether it's they're trying to save money or reduce, you know, capital, whether they're trying to get a better security posture, whether they're, you know, trying to grab better business insights on their data and they want data intelligence. I mean, we're looking for somebody to kind of partner with on specific journeys to then, you know, help us kind of bring them into the cloud and then kind of transform their business with technology.
We talked about the new breed of service provider, right? So typically at the moment, most service providers have their roots deeply founded within traditional IT. And even more so, we're not just talking about virtualization. We're talking about some MSPs that started in the 80s and 90s. I've had a couple on the show where their history, we started in 1990, right? And that's obviously a very different time to where we are. So my thought is there are some companies out there that are claiming to be pure born in the cloud, but you guys are not ashamed of saying that you've got all this experience, the data pipe experience. What's the biggest differential that you guys offer from being that mature, you know, heads experienced? And then how do you translate that to the modern MSP, which is now handling workloads that are in the cloud, different types, serverless, edge, whatever it might be?
Yeah, that's a big question. I'll take the first little stab at it and then Rich can jump in. You know, we're taking what we knew about being an MSP. I myself have been working in an MSP for almost 20 years. And so I've been learning how to manage and operate for our customers. It's a lot of the same, but also very different. I mean, this time, you know, we're working inside of something that is truly scalable, where in the old days, it was more the pets versus cattle conversation, right? We were managing pets. Now we're managing cattle at scale, which is a completely different mindset and concept. So how you handle, you know, simply, you know, monitoring and logging and, you know, understanding all the different security vectors inside of the cloud, it's just taking on that traditional knowledge and expanding it and basically, you know, making it a lot bigger and broader and having to think about infinites instead of very finite work sets. So it's something where we're picking and exploring tools and vendors to kind of help us on this journey that think in that same concept, that it's on an infinite scale and it's multi-vector. So for instance, we just changed out a vendor that was doing vulnerability assessments for us, and they could only see virtual servers. And for me, that wasn't good enough. I needed them to see the container registry. I needed them to see Lambda to get a complete picture into it. So we changed them out. So now we're thinking about it from all three vectors of compute inside of AWS instead of just one vector inside of AWS. And so I have lots of different stories about that, from like how we choose backups to how we're doing other monitoring to look at all kinds of different services instead of just one thing. But that's really the gist of it, is you got to think a lot broader than you have in the past.
Interesting, yeah, because there's so much more many services that we're talking about, so many different types of services. you got different types of personas as well, haven't you? So back in the day, you know, John and Richard, you would have just been dealing with the virtualization guy, you know, or a backup guy. Or we never really, because obviously my roots in service provider land, to a, not so much managed service provider, but service provider land, you know the personas you were dealing with, but we never talked to a dev very often. We never talked to those behind the scenes guys. And I'm guessing, you know, I from memory, one of your acquisitions was a company that assisted you guys to be in that DevOps space as well, right? So I guess you're tooling yourselves to be able to handle those conversations no matter which angle they come from.
Yeah, right. We're not talking just to the IT infrastructure engineer anymore. It is across the board. It's even business leaders, especially on the, some of the data intelligence, the stuff that we're looking at. I mean, it might be the CMO or the CSO on their side that's driving what we're building so that they can have the dashboards, whatever they need to run their business. Yeah, we definitely, I think the old MSP world, I guess, would be a lot more static than our world is. It's a lot more dynamic and, you know, we're innovating, creating tooling that will, you know, automatically adjust services for our customers based on policies instead of, you know, static, you know, installs on every one of their instances. So it's pretty neat. Having a good time doing it.
Yeah, I can imagine so. So just maybe work us through the process there, because, you know, obviously with you've got a development arm that basically will one-to-one go into a customer and sort of get their requirements. And then are you handling the, or you're interfacing through whatever you guys are developing, the deployment of an application or the ongoing pipeline management of an application? So is that what you guys are doing from a services point of view? Or, you know, you do migration, you've got, you know, the VMware Cloud and AWS part. I'm interested in what at the moment is the bulk of your services, you know, what's more niche and where do you see it potentially going in the future?
Mm-hmm. I think every customer is bringing over some servers from, you know, their hosting provider, their data center. And so like, that's probably our biggest bulk and focus. I mean, we have a lot of EC2 instances and then the VMC instances that are under management. Yeah, okay. It's very, you know, traditional style management, except for where there's auto scaling and that kind of stuff. And then we have a good percentage of our customers, and it's growing rapidly, that have started to make that switch from virtual servers into containers inside of Lambda, inside of native AWS services. And we're helping them along the way. But, you know, we serve also a different customer. I mean, when we develop, we're developing on our standard sets. And so we have a heavy partnership with HashiCorp, with Snowflake, with a handful of other ISVs that then we're developing, you know, with the customer's recommendations on specific ISVs into a platform and inside of a set that's maybe a little bit different than a traditional. So we'll work and, you know, create DevOps pipelines and operate those for our customers. And we'll do application monitoring pretty deep where you can, you know, integrate it with X-Ray or New Relic or Datadog, whoever you have running, and, you know, get true insights all the way from the application down to the infrastructure. So it's evolving and changing almost every day. But I do start to see, you know, a big trend, and this is what got me excited to even join Effectual, of customers saying, okay, let's do the cloud migration. And then as soon as we get there, modernize.
Wow.
I mean, we're working on a deal right now where we're literally going to lift and shift them into a VMC platform. And they plan to spend 6 months there because they want to just hammer down on modernization as soon as we get there. So it's our team working with their team, utilizing shared tools to like make sure that we're staying organized and just driving towards, you know, better outcomes of utilization of cloud.
I was going to say, I've got a couple of questions I thought of during that. I'll try and remember them. But I think the first one was, do you guys have any repeatable IP that you deploy from a one-to-many sort of multi-tenant point of view, or is it all point solution per customer?
No, we got a lot of repeatable IP, and we're building that database every day, whether it's how we connect to data libraries or how we handle automation. It's something that we have a pretty decent war chest right now that's making our lives a little bit easier so we can speed up our customers and accelerate their outcomes.
Yeah, right. And Richard, just wrapping that sort of conversation up as a, you know, as a CMO, you know, handling that, those the relationships at different levels, how do you handle the transition that these companies are going, you know, through from a relationship point of view, but then also your messaging? Because I think one thing that I think needs to be spot on in this time of transition is the messaging. Not because it's so easy to say, oh yeah, we're going to take application A, we're going to shift it from a VMware environment on-prem, we're going to stick it in AWS and it's modern, it's cloud native. Job is to kind of make the messaging, you know, sort of clicky, but realistic as well, I suppose.
There's a couple different aspects. I'm going to tie it back to an earlier question there, and it almost goes even earlier than that with your use of the word efficiency. We really get the benefits of being a born on the cloud company in the way that we can be agile in our approach. You know, we're very fast, and we are fortunate that we as a company don't have any of that technological debt that so many enterprises and even those traditional legacy MSPs have. We don't have systems to manage physical infrastructure. That's not who we are.
Yep.
We're managing AWS and AWS alone. And to enable that type of efficiency for our customers, that's a story we can relate to, and where that experience part of what we have really feeds into all of this. While we don't have the systems to manage physical infrastructure, we have teams that were there, they were managing it and understand exactly what that landscape looks like, so that when you want to move it into an AWS world, it makes a lot more sense. Another, from the messaging standpoint too, we had a big shift, you know, being able to move fast. And this really came to fruition this past reInvent, where so many conversations on the expo floor at reInvent were not asking about specific individual AWS services. The quality conversations that we had on the floor were all business decision makers that were looking to solve a challenge. I had so many conversations where, you know, they came up and talked to us, hey, you know, your booth has some messaging around data and analytics or business insights. Tell me how can you uncover that for me? And these were the meaningful conversations. They're really approaching, you know, at least the modern enterprise leader is looking at approaching these problems by solving for a specific business outcome. You guys handle the technology. You're the experts there. Yeah. This is what I want. How do I get that? And that's key in the messaging.
That's really interesting, because it parallels a bit of my takeaway from the last reInvent, where I felt it was the first time that I could have real conversations with a whole breadth of technologists, people there around not just the geeky technology around it, but the business outcome as well. And maybe that's a sign that we've passed the on that sort of adoption wave where, you know, everything's a buzzword and whatnot. We're very much firmly on that stable sort of path of just everyone is effectively calling it day to day, and everyone accepts that the cloud is here. And it's now like, okay, it's not a buzzword. I sort of understand it's what we need to be doing. Let's talk about how now this can help my business be, you know, more effectual. See what I did there?
Thank you.
I like it.
Well done.
Very good.
I think our Q1 sales have showed that. I mean, like Rich was saying, I mean, the conversations we were having at reInvent, it was more like, okay. And we'd look, okay, what? Well, let's get started. Let's get going. Let's get moving. And I think finally that was a big transition point that I saw, is because people were always sitting there inside of like these development labs and like, okay, we're testing. Now it's at the point where it's like, okay, let's go. We trust in the cloud. We trust in you. You have the backing. Just go and start working on this. We need to get it done. And Q1 sales have showed that for us. And the engineering team has definitely felt that effect, as we are just, super busy, just really helping our customers right away, instead of them sitting, waiting and putting it off and, you know, waiting for a rainy day. They want to get it done right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're clearly doing something right, because as I look at the notes here, 3 years running in the CRN MSP 500, you know, Stratus Award for Cloud Computing 2021-22.
Four actually now. We just
four,
got
there you go. 4 years running. Yeah. So there you go. I'm going to need an update. That mentions in two Gartner quadrants, you know, Forrester Wave, VMware Cloud Services, and AWS Growth Partner of the Year 2021, 22 as well, potentially. I don't know, but, you know, maybe you could get there. So you're obviously doing something right, which tells me that you've captured the right area of the market, that addressable market we talked about, plus the conversations that you have all lead to the fact that, you know, like you say, you're booming this year at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To make sure we stay in the good graces of the analyst community there, the Datapipe was named in Magic Quadrants, but Effectual has been named in multiple Gartner reports.
Okay. No, it's a Gartner. I know the Gartner world. I should have got that right as well. Yeah, I know a lot of them. So we should be okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to change tack a little bit and talk about just the fundamentals of the shift from on-prem to the cloud. So it's interesting because I know that it was happening en masse maybe 10 years ago from a top-down approach. You know, everyone was like, oh, the cloud's here. It's more effective. It's cost-effective. It's the future. And the CEO would go to a conference, they'd see an ad, and they'd just go, just do it. And then it got actioned on, and then it was a lift and shift. And then all of a sudden, the architecture wasn't correct. Organizations are moving wrong workloads. It was costing them more money, performance issues, all that kind of jazz, right? So we know that it's settled down into this sort of hybrid sort of scenario, more horses for courses. The workloads and the application dictate where it lives to a certain extent, what services it runs on. Where do you see the on-prem world sitting today? And then the follow-up question is, because of obviously, you know, John's got lots of, you know, sort of roots in the VMware world as well. Where do you see VMware at the moment and how that's kind of contributing to a potential increase in the move to the cloud?
That's a good question. John, you want to start with the VMware part of that?
So I think, that I still see a big, you know, there's been a migration over the last few years into AWS. And I think I see that increasing every day. And I think there's multiple catalysts inside of why that's happening. I think the VMware Broadcom acquisition might be some part of it for some companies. I think that's out there. I think they're nervous about it. I think, the increases of price that they had in the last 12 months from the hosting providers, as well as then, you know, from the perpetual licensing themselves, I think is a part of it. But I also think, you know, some of this is timing. And if you notice, like, things come in and always there's these waves. And, you know, you're starting to get to the 3 to 5 year mark for some of these people that put pretty big investments into hardware. And they're getting to the point right now where the CFO is sitting there. Do I stroke another check for, you know, multi-millions of dollars, or do I start to move this into a service, which I think is pretty much, you know, I still think we're early days, but in there, people aren't laggers yet, but I think it's pretty tried and true. We're kind of in that middle of that trend cycle. And so, you know, the one customer that we're migrating into our world right now, that was their decision. I mean, their CFO just looked at it from a dollars and cents perspective and was like, you know, I just don't want to keep spending multi-million dollars every few years. This doesn't make sense to me anymore. Let's go, let's move it. Let's transition this thing out so we can focus, you know, more on our business instead of just sitting here maintaining this hardware all the time.
Yeah. Richard, do you want to add to that? Yeah.
Yeah, to that point, I think innovation is a key part as well. You know, when you've got legacy infrastructure, physical infrastructure, there's a limit to how much innovation that you can do there. The new services and features that AWS is pushing out enable that innovation. And this decision that John touched on, where, you know, the CFO is sitting there, I can write a check to refresh my hardware, which I know then I'm going to use for at least the next 5 years. If you do that, you're pushing back all of your innovation initiatives to not even start until 5 years from now.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's a big question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I was at AWS, one of the things we did was we walked through this cloud adoption framework with the executive team. And in almost every executive team that we were in, you know, the business person, the salesperson was like, we can't support our customers what they're asking for with our IT systems today. That's a constant problem. And so, you know, to go to Rich's point, they can't sit there and say, okay, 3 to 5 years, we'll kick the can down the road and see where the world is. We just got smacked in the face with COVID where we couldn't get access to our facilities. We couldn't get access to our servers. You know, we had more people coming in online and remotely that hurt our business. We can't go through another one of those. Let's make the change now. Let's make the shift now.
Yeah. Because there has been a little bit in the news with regards to, you know, cloud cost, right? And, you know, there's been some good examples and good articles out there one very particular one. Now, I can't quite remember the name, but basically he had a massive rant about the fact that he was able to save $7 million by moving off the cloud, right? Yeah. I think you know the one that I'm talking about. It got quite a bit of airplay. So how do you get questions around that? So, you know, is this really cheaper?
There's the pundits out there calling repatriation a thing. I have a struggle with that. I haven't seen many repatriate that have truly done, cloud in the right way. I can't remember who that article is. It's some messaging service. But if you look at the subsequent or the following articles, now they're having issues with how expensive the hardware is, how long it takes to get the hardware, how they can't find the engineering people to staff it. So it's like all the things that's like, it's cool. You can look at it on a one sheeter and say, man, this makes sense to go back to our data center. And then when you look in all the variables and all the factors, it's like, ooh, maybe that was a bad decision.
It's like, I've read that book before, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. I've been there, done that. So, that's something we get proactive with our customers right away. As soon as they come into like our modern cloud management, we're putting cost tools on there to make sure that, they're killing data that's not being used and servers that aren't being used and right-sizing everything. That's all it is. It's hygiene. It's like anything else. I mean, we experienced that when we had data centers too. I mean, you'd have these servers sitting there running, doing lab something, but the guy that was running the lab left 6 months ago, but it's still sitting there, spending money. But it looked different because it became under a building management expense instead of an IT expense. And so, it's all the same problems. It's all about hygiene. And we focus on our customers as soon as they come on board, as soon as they start working with us, to make sure that they're in the right hygiene, not only for cost, but for security as well.
Yeah, I use this, I've learned this term in the last episode, sandbagging, right? So, effectively there's lots of sandbagging that does happen in cloud computing because there's a number of different people all wanting to sort of make their application to make sure that it's going to work.
Yeah.
And just, it's almost like a bit of insurance as well, right? So that leads itself to, this concept of green IT and efficiency around that as well. So I'm guessing that part of what you guys do in that optimization space is it's twofold. It's one, to make sure that they don't have a bad cloud experience, because if you have a bad cloud experience, it's very easy to justify repatriation, but also just to make sure that they're spending the right amount of money as well.
And something, we know the AWS well architected framework. That's something where we have a tool that's running on our customers' environments all the time, so we see where the exceptions are, and sustainability is one of them. And if there's something there that we could optimize for them, we make sure we get it done and put them in a better place.
Awesome. Okay. Maybe just a couple of, we said this would go quick, didn't we? And it has gone very, very quick. So a question to Richard around, what do you feel, how did Effectual come in and disrupt the market to start with? Because you've been very successful. You've had a number of different, funding rounds. You've got all those awards. So what was the innovative piece that really, started you guys off?
I think the ability to focus only on AWS is differentiating. We're not the only ones doing that, but it is differentiating. It does narrow our competitive landscape quite a bit. But you combine that with that past experience of managing a monster enterprise data center infrastructure, and we do have a unique set of, a unique outlook on how modernization can happen. If you look at that story from the beginning of the talk here, we modernized ourselves through the iterations of the company that, and the companies that we've all come from. We're in a space now that we're trying to enable for all of our customers. The same way that COVID really had minor impact on how we grew a brand new startup, we want to enable that for all of our customers. It shouldn't, that in this world and the technologies that's available to us today, that should not have a detrimental effect. And we've proven that that's possible by the way that we've grown. So it's, I think our own story is the same story that we're trying to enable for our customers, which is a unique and disruptive thought.
Awesome. Great way to finish off. Well articulated and well-rounded for the value prop of Effectual. So, hey guys, thanks a lot for being on the show. Just as a reminder, if you are new to the show or aren't subscribed, please head to gtwgt.com, head to the YouTube channel, please like and subscribe. You can find me at Anthony Spiteri or at GTWGT Podcast. With that, thank you very much, Richard. Thank you, John.
Welcome.
And we will see you next time on Great Things with Great Tech.
Thanks for having us. See ya.
Thank you.
Awesome, guys. I reckon we've got 20 seconds left.